If you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6, as we conclude the message that I started 2 weeks ago entitled Warrior. As we talk about the armor of God, we finish up today. In the last couple of weeks, while you're finding Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, I remind you that we talked about being strong in the Lord. We talked about how to stand strong and what to do to be strong believers. Last week we talked about the enemy that we have. It's not flesh and blood, it's not people, but it's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the unseen world. We talked about what Peter described as the roaring lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour. We talked about being at peace with all men, as much as lies within us, but never make a peace treaty with the devil, because you will lose every time. We talked about the battle where we use the armor of God, that more often than not, that battle takes place in our minds as we battle truth, as we battle the opposition to truth. We battle those things in our mind when the enemy tries to put lies there, tell us that we are not worthy to follow the Lord, or that we have failed. And it's the battle of the mind. This morning I want to talk about the armor. I won't be going into great detail with any of the pieces of the armor because time constrains us. But I want to talk about the armor that God has given us, the tools that He's given us to be able to fight this battle and win. How many believe that God's people can win the battle? And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." After the list of the armor of God, he enrobes that armor in prayer and says prayer is the element. I think what he's saying is that prayer is the element by which we use all of these other instruments, all these other things of the armor of God. And we've done that today. We have prayed together today. And as we were praying, we were doing battle. You may not have felt that, but we were doing battle. And guess what? The enemy did not like what we did today. He did not like what we did today and what churches across our nation did today. But guess what? God was pleased. Amen? And I would much rather please God than the enemy any day, right? And the enemy doesn't like it. Amen. The enemy doesn't like it because he knows he loses every time that people pray. And so as I talk about these things in the time I have left, we will enrobe all of these things in prayer. And it's in prayer that we really do the battle, I believe. He talks about the belt of truth in verse 14. The belt of truth is really, in my opinion, what holds everything together. It's the belt. I'm wearing a belt today. I'm a belt wearer. If I don't have a belt on, I feel like I'm not dressed. I was of that generation where you wore belts. You wore belts. And I don't know that that's true of the generation we're in today. Although one of my grandsons spent a lot of money not too long ago on a belt because it was cool. I don't wear cool belts because I don't want to spend a lot of money on them. But it kind of holds everything together. And it talks about the belt of truth. And truth is really what enrobes us, or that holds it together. It is important that we have a confidence in the truth. And what is the truth that it speaks of here? What really girds us? The old version says, girdle yourself with truth. Gird yourself with truth. To me, the truth that girdles us is this right here. It is the Word of God. Amen? This is truth. And everybody ought to, everybody needs something that they believe in. Everybody needs something that they stand on. And for the believer, it ought to be the Word of God. If it's anything else, you can't stand on man's opinion. Matter of fact, when you're doing battle with the enemy and you say, well, Pastor said this, the devil's just going to laugh at you. But when you say, Jesus said this, he's going to listen. Amen? When you say, well, my grandmother used to say this, well, thank God for grandmas, but I'll tell you, the devil is more afraid of truth and the Bible and God than he is your grandma. Come on, amen. Even though praying grandmas, they have a special place. That's right. It is the belt of truth. It is truth as we see it within the Scriptures. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus would say previous to that, you shall know the what? The truth. And the truth shall set you free. That's what truth does. The belt of truth. And so we need to believe and stand on the Scriptures and stand by what the Scriptures say. I know that's not real popular today. I know that that doesn't pass the muster of our present culture. But you know, this book has been through a lot through its history, and it will be through a lot more, but we've got to stand on this Word of God. And that is the truth that we live by. Then it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is that understanding that we have right standing with God. That's what communion is about. It reminds us that we can't stand in our own righteousness. As a matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah said that our righteousness or our right living, our right standard, is like filthy rags. But we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we wear his righteousness as a breastplate. A breastplate in the Roman soldier was an identifier. It identified who, what army they were in. And in the Roman soldier, there was probably an eagle, because that was the symbol of the Roman Empire, was the eagle. And that eagle would stand out in that breastplate that they would wear. And people would identify that. They would know that they were a Roman soldier because of the breastplate. For the Christians today, that breastplate is righteousness, right? And not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, of what he did on the cross. That's what we wear in front, so everybody can recognize we don't stand in our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, right? And that is the breastplate. That's what stands out to the enemy. And we remind the enemy of that when we're wrestling with him in our mind. When the enemy likes to point out your weaknesses, you point out to him the righteousness of God that you stand in, right? Amen. You remind him of the righteousness of God, and that's what will win the battle. He talks about the sandals of peace, your feet being shod with the gospel of peace. There's probably a reference here in Paul's mind to the passage in Isaiah where it talks about how beautiful are the feet of them that spread the news. Now, you know, there's a lot of beauty here today. I'm looking at a lot of beauty, but I'm not sure your feet would be my first estimation of your beauty. When we came to pastor here almost 41 years ago now, one of the first thing they did, we came in September and October, they had a harvest party. And they said, oh, the new pastor's here. We'll get him to play this game. And so the people that were here at that time, they played a game. And what they did is they took a sheet and held it up. And they had all the ladies stand behind the sheet and take off their shoes. And all the men could see was the feet of the ladies. And the men had to pick out his wives' feet. Awkward. And then they took the men and put them behind the sheet and they took off their shoes. And I want to tell you, that was pretty ugly. So I'm not sure that the feet are really the most beautiful thing on our bodies, but the feet are beautiful when we are wearing the sandals of peace. Amen? There is something powerful as we do battle with the enemy in our mind when we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. When we stand, you see, those sandals were so important to the Roman soldier. They couldn't march far without proper sandals, without proper footwear. And for the Christian, we march in the peace of Jesus Christ. Praise God. No matter what the battle, no matter how fierce it is, we march with the peace of God, knowing the peace of God passes understanding. And he gives peace not as the world gives, but he gives peace that passes understanding. How many know when you're doing battle, it's good to be at peace, right? And that's what we are, and that's what we do. When we are doing battle in our minds over the enemy, we have the peace of God that passes understanding. Then in verse 16, he talks about the shield of faith. The shield of faith, and he talks about it in this light. He says, it is the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the what? The fiery darts of the enemy. Fiery darts in Roman warfare were literally fiery darts. They were darts that were shot, or arrows, if you will, shot at Roman soldiers that were dipped in bitumen or something and set on fire. And when they struck, they would just keep burning and burning and burning. They hit a person, they would burn and burn. And so the Roman soldier would have a shield. And the shield would be, some have said that the shield had a big a leather covering on it. And they would soak it in water before they went to battle so that those fiery darts, when they hit that, would be quenched. The devil loves to send fiery darts into your mind. Little burning thoughts, little things that people say, little things that people do, fiery darts, little doubts that he puts in your mind, and he would like them to burn and burn and burn until it enrages itself into a giant forest fire. But when we stand with the shield of faith, when we by faith say, that is not going to come my way, that's not going to keep burning, we quench it by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. The enemy loves to put doubt in your mind about your husband or your wife. The enemy loves to put doubt in your mind by a comment that someone might say, whether it was intended to hurt you or not. Sometimes those thoughts will come into your mind and you'll say, well, why did that person say that? Why did they do that? Why did they act that way? Those are fiery darts, and they are best put out as quickly as possible. Amen. And we do that with a shield of faith. We do that by faith and say, I'm not going to let that burn. Sometimes, folks, you just got to just overlook what people say. Amen? Come on. Sometimes you got to put out that fiery dart by saying, they're hurting. And we all know that hurting dogs bite. And so you just ignore that. But when the devil puts a fiery dart, when he sends a fiery dart and says, God doesn't love you, and you're not going to make it, and you're going to fail this time. God may have met every need you've had up to now, but he's not going to do that anymore. Those are fiery darts that we need to take the shield and say, I'm going to quench you just as quickly as possible, because God has never failed me yet, and he's not about to start now. Amen. And we do that in faith. And that extinguishes that fiery dart immediately. The worst thing we can do with a fiery dart is let it burn. Is let it burn. We need to put it out. Then he talks about in verse 17, the helmet of salvation. That helmet that the Roman soldier would put on that would protect his head, that would protect his brain, that would protect his face. He would put on that helmet. And that helmet wouldn't only just protect him, but it would identify who he was. And so for we as believers, our helmet is salvation. Salvation protects us, protects our thinking when we realize that we are saved or born again or however you want to call it. When we know that we have salvation, how many know salvation is a wonderful gift of God? Amen? Everything starts with salvation. It all starts with salvation. When we put on that helmet of salvation, we are saying to the enemy, you're dealing with a child of God. You're not dealing with just a run-of-the-mill person. You are dealing with a child of God. You are fighting with a child of God. And guess what? This child of God doesn't fight on its own, but I've got a Savior who stands behind me, and he fights my battles for me. Amen. Amen. I've told you this story. I'll tell you again because I'm a senior citizen now. I lived for a little time in a little town in Central California called Keys, California. It's where I was baptized. I was baptized in an irrigation canal with about that much water in it. And that's where I was baptized. I went to school there for a little while, but it was one of the roughest schools in the area. Some of you around Turlock, Modesto series, you know that area. And it was very, very tough, and the schools were very, very hard. And I was a new kid at school, and right away the bullies found me out because I was just a little guy. And so I ran home more than once through those alleys to try to get home before they could catch me. And I remember one day they were chasing me down the alley, and my mom stepped out into the alley. And I forget what she had in her hand, but she grabbed the first thing she had and she took care of it. But then one day I went to school and this big guy came up to me. He was a big guy. And he said, "You're new in school, aren't you?" And I said, Yeah. He said, "They've been picking on you, haven't they?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'm your bodyguard from now on." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I'm your buddy." "Why would you do that?" He says, "Because I don't like to see bullies pick on people. So I'm going to walk you home from school, and I'm going to walk you to school, and no one's going to bother you." And I went, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And I'll tell you, that next day, I came out and I looked for him, and there he was waiting for me. And we walked to school, and I just felt like, come on, bring it on. Bring it on, bring it on. And those bullies came out, but when they saw that guy behind me, that kid behind me that was bigger than they were, they just turned about face and went their direction because they knew they were tangling with someone besides me. Guess what? That's what we have with Jesus. That's the helmet of salvation. We have someone standing behind us that's going to help us in our battle. Amen? And that's what we have to say in our minds. We have to remind the devil that he's a defeated foe, and we have someone that is standing beside us and behind us. Finally, in verse 17, it says, "Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." It's the only offensive weapon in this whole list, the sword of the Spirit. The sword that represents the Word of God, the powerful Word of God. I want to tell you, when you're doing battle in your mind, there's something powerful about God speaking a word to you. Amen? And this word in the Greek is rhema. It's a rhema word. It's a word from God spoken for that situation. But many times God will use that as a way to speak something out of Scripture. And I believe one of the most powerful things is to have a rhema and a logos going on at the same time in your mind, where God speaks to you and says, remember the Scripture, use that Scripture. How many know when Jesus was doing battle with the devil in the wilderness, what weapon did Jesus use? He used the Word of God. And guess what weapon we can use when we do battle with the enemy? The Word of God. We tell the devil, I'm going to remind you, this Bible tells you where you're going to end up. This Bible has promises, and we need to have those promises. That's why the Bible talks about hiding the Word of God in our hearts so we might not sin against Him. There's something powerful when we start quoting a verse, quoting a verse, quoting a verse. And we may not remember where that verse is. We might not remember that at all. You remember the story I told you about the pastor's wife in Southern California years ago who got into her car and a man got in the back seat and held a gun to her head and said, "I want you to drive." And she got so scared and all she kept thinking, "Scripture, scripture, scripture." And all she could think of was the scripture in Psalms about the feathers of the Lord. And so she started screaming, "Feathers, feathers, 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 feathers." And the guy got out of the car and said, "That lady's crazy." And he left. And that's all she could think of was just feathers, 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 feathers. But it worked. Amen. So when you're doing battle with the enemy, you may only have part of a scripture. You may not know the whole thing. You may not be able to quote it scripture and verse, but just begin to quote it to the enemy because he knows it well enough to know that he can't stand against the word of the Lord. Amen. You're a warrior. You're a warrior. I want you to watch a little video. I want you to listen to this song. It's called Warrior. It's a song about prayer. And if you can go away with anything out of this short 3-sermon series, I want you to go away with this, that you have been empowered to be a prayer warrior. You have been empowered to go to God in prayer. And when you're doing battle in your mind over temptations or situations or doubt or fear or whatever it is, You get to prayer. You go to prayer and you begin to do battle because you're a warrior and you are guaranteed to win because Jesus is on your side. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you that we can be warriors on our knees. Thank you that we have done that this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can use this armor of God and we can win this battle because you have given us that promise in your word. Help us, Lord, as we go today to know that we are warriors for the Lord, that we are powerful in the name of Jesus, not in our own strength, but in the strength that Jesus gives. We thank you for that today in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Turn to someone today and say, you're a warrior. Would you do that? Say, you're a warrior. God bless you as you're dismissed today.